Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, you know, last time our resident philosopher, Al Jeaney, the professor of business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University Chicago, last time he was here, he bummed us out, man. He was like, you know what, we need to stop being such babies about the fatigue of this election. And we need to start recognizing that this is our right and we need to, it's a duty to vote. So we thought to energize you at home right now to get more excited about the presidential election that we would bring Al back and talk about some presidential factoids, some fun stuff. You promise not to yell at anybody, right? You
know, no,
you're
gonna I yell promise not about to the yell. or speak over you. I'm so sorry.
No, no.
But fun stuff about the presidency. So there's a lot of quizzes here. You're supposed to be the guru. For example, Mr. Obama is the 44th president, correct? But that's wrong. He's the 43rd president. Do you know why he's called the 44th president?
Why?
Because Grover Cleveland was elected twice separately. So he was elected once, and then
he gave him two different numbers.
Oh, he has two different numbers. So really, we're not electing the 45th president of the United States. We're actually electing the 44th person.
Well, that did it, Al. I'm now excited. Thanks for that. That factoid did it.
factoid.
But you've got a lot. You've got a lot here. You put together, and I thank you for this.
For example. I think right now, in the present mood after the two wars we've been through and after Vietnam, it's been a very, very rare situation where a general will be elected president of the United States. But there have been 12 generals that have been elected as president of the United States. And that's a fascinating number when you talk about it. And at least two.
Okay, so Washington, obviously.
Right.
Grant.
Right.
I would say Eisenhower.
Absolutely.
Was Andrew Jackson a general?
Absolutely, Andrew Jackson. Appointed political, but don't forget the Battle of New Orleans and the killing of the Seminoles, et cetera, et cetera.
Here's one
you don't know.
Okay.
Our most handsome president ever is Franklin Pierce, and he was a general in the Mexican War. Nobody even knows Franklin Pierce was president of the United States.
But he was handsome.
And he was absolutely handsome. And, of course, Chester Arthur, again, another major presidential figure,
right,
was in the Civil War, and Rutherford B. Hayes and Benjamin Harris. So there were actually 12 different people, and 30% of all presidents had some military experience. In fact, the embarrassment was, remember Bill Clinton was the first non-military.
That used to be a certain time in this country, it was almost a prereq. It wasn't just military service, it was officer training. You had to be an officer.
Absolutely. Yeah. You didn't want a private there. Of course, Dwight David Eisenhower and General Grant were the only two presidents to graduate from
West Point,
of course. And the only president to graduate from a Catholic college?
Kennedy.
No, Bill Clinton. Kennedy's a Harvard boy. Don't forget that. And the only president with a PhD?
Doctor. Who would be a doctor for Dr. Let me just try this out. Hold on.
Okay.
Dr. Ford. Dr. Carter.
Jerry Ford. Had too many head hits while in Michigan. No. Woodrow Wilson,
who was president of
Princeton,
next... right.
And then governor of New Jersey for one short term, and then president of the United States. And Wilson said that he went into politics because he wanted to get out of the politics of academia.
We should do that. I'm sure the listeners at home are listening so angry with me. They've probably heard five or six of your questions now, and they're like, Kaufman, get it together. This is not my area of expertise. I'd like to know more about this. Let's keep going.
Absolutely. How about this, for example? The president has written the most books. You're going to be totally surprised at this. In fact, you were an intern, and I interviewed him once with you.
Okay, well.
Former president.
Okay, well, the presidents I've met in my life have been Barack Obama when he was a state senator and Jimmy Carter.
That's right.
That's right.
You met him with me, and Jimmy Carter has written 27 books. And I interviewed him on the first book he did on fly fishing, and he took me for breakfast at the coffee shop at the bottom of the other place that we used to work.
27 books.
Yes.
I mean, were they books before? I mean, was
he wrote
after
three
his
novels.
President?
Yes, all after. After his president, he didn't know what to do. His staff
gave him a computer.
They gave him a computer, which was, you know, this huge thing, and a wood workshop, and he started writing. Mm. He wrote a book on fly fishing was the first book, and he's written two novels, I believe, and the one out right now is A Full Reflection at 90.
Mm.
You know, what a sweet book. But he winds up being a good wordsmith, and not bad. Theodore Roosevelt wrote 19 books. Woodrow Wilson, the academic, did only 8. I don't know what he was
doing. When I went to spring break, we went to Yosemite.
Yeah.
And here I'll give you a piece, I don't have a question. I'll just give you the factoid they gave me.
Yeah.
That when Teddy Roosevelt was president, he took off like without telling anybody.
Right.
Like imagine this, like for a 3-day vacation to whoever was the parks guy to go to Yosemite to see Yosemite and to this because he was instrumental in the creation of the park
right,
system.
Right.
So he said they're like, where'd the president go? He's like, he'll be back.
He'll be back. He went off there and they shot things. Those are the days they shot things. Teddy Roosevelt went off to Africa and killed so many animals.
But that could be the trivia question. Be like, which president disappeared for three days and didn't tell his secretary? Right.
Right. He was really an outdoorsman. Of course, Barack Obama's probably made more money than everybody with his three books.
Really.
But connected to that, these wonderful prizes. Nobel laureates as president of the United States.
Well, of course, I mean, Obama, that was a big story.
That was a big Jimmy Carter, right?
Oh, after that, I don't know.
You've already used both their names already.
Okay, so Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt, right, for the Russian-Japanese War. And then Woodrow Wilson for the League of Nations. We forget Woodrow Wilson, this kind of stick-in-the-mud individual, but the first president to ever use the radio. In fact, he was so used to lecturing that when in the first radio speech, he stood up. He stood up to do it. He couldn't sit down at the desk to do it. But Woodrow Wilson only, for the League of Nations, which led to the United Nations and a very real.
All right,
real...
Al, you've got it. Let's rapid fire through some of these next ones. Okay, what do you got?
Two presidents who served as presidents of universities.
I already gave
you one. As Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson.
You got to pay a little more attention. You're never going to pass this course.
Just default. It's Woodrow Wilson.
And Dwight David Eisenhower. Okay. Because they didn't know what to do after the war. So Columbia University made him a president of Columbia University for a while because he had never voted before. He never declared in a party. He had to have a job. He was out of NATO. He didn't know what to do. Let's make him president of Columbia. There's a joke that they really meant to make Milton Eisenhower because he was an academic. But somebody wrote, screwed up. That's not true, but it's a wonderful story. It's absolutely a wonderful story. And the college that has graduated the most number of presidents would, of course, be... Harvard.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That's a no-brainer. I was going to say Harvard or Oberlin, but I don't think there's no Oberlin.
Oberlin's right up there.
Yeah, that's right up there. But it's
by
like,
Northern Illinois. Yeah, right. I think we're talking about real equations.
Drake and Des Moines.
Drake and Des Moines.
Four,
not so much. And then, the one I find most interesting is this presidents who are related. For, of course, we've had two father-sons things. And no matter what you may think of the second Bush, think about the family.
It's amazing.
The amazing honor it is for a family and, of course, the power and connect to that. But John Adams, the second president of the United States, and John Quincy Adams, his son, who had served as Secretary of State, who has served in so many different ways, ambassador, so on and so forth, and George Bush, H. Bush, and George W. Bush, et cetera, et cetera. But Benjamin Harrison was the grandson of William Henry Harrison.
Okay.
They're both separated. John Tyler was a great uncle of Truman. And Teddy Roosevelt was the uncle of... Eleanor Roosevelt and the cousin of FDR.
There you go.
And you know, what's really interesting, too, is Teddy Roosevelt was really, by our standards today, a Democratic activist, but, you know, they morphed into the Republicanism. And once FDR declared a Democrat, the family split. In a very serious way. Most number of children. Come on. No one's going to get this, and it's a staggering number.
All right. How many kids?
Try kids. How many kids? How many things?
I don't know. Seven?
Nah, 14. John Tyler. He only served one term. Obviously, he had other things to do. 14 children. Just an amazing kind of thing. Just amazing. And, of course, the ones that touch us right now, the youngest and the oldest. The youngest was Jack Kennedy at 43 when he was elected. And Teddy Roosevelt was 42 when he was vice president, but then was 44 when he was president after McKinley was shot. And the oldest was Reagan, and I think Taylor. I think Taylor was up there too when Harrison.
Let me ask before we wrap this up. I mean, are you just poring over? Is this really get you going?
No, it gets me going because I think personalities, character, and talent make up the presidency. I want to know what that person thinks. Years ago when I interviewed, and you were on the other side of the microphone, Eddie Vardoliak, I asked him why he wanted to be mayor of Chicago. And he said, well, when I'm mayor of Chicago, we're going to do X. And I said, no, why do you want to be mayor of Chicago? And he said, when I'm mayor of Chicago, the police force is going to do Y.
Right.
And then we went to the break, and he said, kid, you asked me that question again? You know, I'm going to walk out of here. I want to be mayor because it's my turn. I think what's interesting to find out how these people think, where they've been to school, what they care about, who are they as human beings. I think Barack Obama, for example, no matter what your political allegiance, has returned dignity and a certain stature to the presidency and a certain demeanor to the presidency. I want to look at these people and say, what did you do? How did you get there? Why is it important? What was your training? For example, 19 were senators, 14 were vice presidents, 23 were lawyers. That says something great deal.
Yeah, it does.
I want to know how a person thinks, what they've done. What I really like about Theodore Roosevelt was every day for years and years and years when he was president, he at 1 o'clock he went out and played with his kids, and then he took a walk for an hour. That says something about the man. It says something about the office.
Okay, so let's wrap it up.
Okay,
the other factoids you have here: only president to resign.
Of course, Richard Nixon.
Who died in office.
There's eight who've died in office, and I think we forget that. William Henry Harrison died in office. Zachary Taylor Harrison died from walking in the presidential parade, catching a cold and dying. Zachary Taylor probably died of food poisoning. Warren G. Harding supposedly died of a heart attack. There's some talk that Warren G. Harding was done away by his wife because Warren G. Harding was caught delectico fragrante a number of times.
Oh.
Warren G. Harding was a ladies' man. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt, of course, died of congestive heart failure.
And of course.
But assassinated, we forget. JFK. Lincoln was the first. Garfield is not just a park. Garfield was an important individual in the Reconstruction. And McKinley, which led to Teddy, and of course, in my lifetime, John Kennedy. I didn't calibrate the number of presidents that have been shot. I think only two and survived. Mr. Reagan. And from Michigan, Jerry Ford was shot at, but I don't think it was actually shot.
Okay, the last one we're going to do here is favorite presidential quote.
Yep, my favorite presidential. Okay, this is. Let me set this up a little bit. Calvin Coolidge was, of course, Ronald Reagan's great. You know, he was his image, and he really thought Calvin Coolidge. And if you read about it, this guy was really out of the 20s. He really wanted to do business, and he was a very stern kind of puritanical. He'd been a governor of, I want to say, Massachusetts or one of the East Coast states, mm-hmm. and very, very stern man. You see him all the time with the high prince collar and choking along, but he was kind of taciturn. He didn't talk much. He showed up at things, didn't talk much. And a society lady ran up to him at a major ball in which they were raising a lot of money. He says, "Oh, Mr. President, I've bet a great deal of money that I can get you to say more than three words. Please help me out, Mr. President." And he looked at her for a second and said, "You lose, madam." Boom.
I don't think I've ever seen you so giddy.
I love
Professor.
It. I love it.
I love
I like
it.
To know that our presidents put their pants on the same way we do, one at a time.
Well, Al Genie is the professor of business ethics at the Quinlan School of Business at Loyola University Chicago, and he's our resident philosopher and I, you know, a huge fan of presidential trivia.
Hey, what can I tell you? It's better than following the Cubs sometimes. Take care. See you soon.
Thanks, Al.